Chapter 25. Owen. Hoofbeats thud loudly on the ground as we ride along the western road, Elder Hollow fading into the distance behind us. Despite the early hour and the pounding headaches and sour bellies, nearly everyone in the village had come to see us off. Dane had asked us to stay, of course, to help guard his flock against future demon attacks, but Zara's response had been firm. We have a mission to complete, and as much as we'd like to stay, our duty is to the realm. And so we left. We ride mostly in silence, the mages too grim or hungover to offer much in the way of conversation. But Zara and I pay them little heed. Our focus is on each other, and the long road ahead. I glance over at her for the 100th time, noting the radiant way she looks, even in the gray morning light. Her hair is pulled into a ponytail, cascading down her back in perfect strands that dance with the movements of her horse. I remember running my fingers through that hair as we lay together, the memory filling my chest with a warmth that banishes the morning chill. "That's my wife," I think in amazement. "She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. How did I get so lucky?" She catches me staring and gives me a shy smile. "What are you looking at?" she asks, brown eyes ever curious. "You," I answer without hesitation. Her smile widens. "And what were you thinking about, husband?" She says the word teasingly. "Our wedding? The feast?" "Honestly, I was thinking about what happened after the wedding and the feast." Her eyes widen.
"Owen!"
I can't fight back a chuckle.
"What? You asked. I'm just being honest."
She blushes furiously, but her smile remains. Casting her voice low, she says,
"Well, keep your voice down next time you feel like being honest. Someone will hear you."
I look over my shoulder at the mages, then back at her. "They're far enough away. Trust me, they didn't hear a thing." She rolls her eyes.
"Light, Owen. You're incorrigible."
"Admit it," I say, nudging my horse a little closer to hers. "You were thinking about it, too." Her blush deepens, but she doesn't deny it.
"Maybe a little."
I flash her a roguish grin.
"Ha! I knew it. I can read you like a book, Zara."
She makes a disgusted noise, but it doesn't sound very convincing.
"I didn't know you read any books."
She turns away, obviously trying to hide her reddening face.
"Light, I never thought it was possible to love someone this much. How did I ever live without her?
It's like Zara's the sun, a brilliant ray of light after years of nothing but rain.
We're married now. Everything's different, and yet things feel like they had before.
Our friendship hasn't changed. If anything, it's gotten better. Our love deepening to a level I never knew existed." We continue riding, our horses bearing us ever westward toward our ultimate destination, the wastes. The low-hanging clouds prevent sunlight from peeking through, the day gloomy and mostly colorless. In the early morning hours, thick mist clings to the surrounding fields like a blanket, dampening the air with an ominous shroud. Even so, our spirits remain high despite the foul weather, the reality of our marriage still enveloping us, insulating us from the outside world. Around midday, we stop for lunch, pulling off to the side of the road and letting the horses graze and drink from a nearby pond. The people of Elder Hollow had sent us off with loads of provisions, bread, salt-cured meat, fruits, and vegetables. We eat in small groups, resting after hours spent in the saddle.
"Oh, to be young and in love,"
the mage Sira says wistfully, sitting down beside her twin sister and looking over at me and Zara.
"Sometimes I wish I'd taken the time to pursue a relationship. My research has utterly consumed my life, it seems."
"There's no man in the kingdom who would put up with you," Kaylee replies. "You're a shut-in, too bookish to attract a suitable mate."
Sira sighs, unperturbed by her sister's brusque response.
"A woman can dream, can't she?"
By the time late afternoon rolls around, the fog starts to burn off and we can see the Emberwood looming before us. It feels a little like coming home, the rolling hills around us populated with familiar trees, like family members. Within the hour, we're completely surrounded by dense forest, our visibility plummeting as we delve deeper into the woods. These lands should be covered in snow, I think, staring around at the leafless limbs. It feels wrong here, like the forest itself is dying. We continue on the western road, past thickets and abandoned farmhouses. The sense of well-being we'd gained in Elder Hollow begins slowly seeping away, a cloying weariness filling our hearts. The unease seems to affect everyone, the mages all looking around as if searching for an enemy. Zara clutches the reins of her horse tightly with one hand, the other straying toward her talisman as she rides. Yes, I think, reaching for my hatchet. Something definitely feels off about this place. The sun sets and we make camp for the night, stopping in a clearing beside a creek not far from the road. We settle the horses and quietly pitch our tents, lighting a small fire in the middle.
Does something feel odd to you?
Zara asks as I bring her a bowl of soup from the cookpot.
Like we're somehow being watched?
I nod, taking my seat next to her. Yes, it does feel a little strange here, but I can't put my finger on why. Somewhere in the distance, an owl hoots, the woods growing more menacing around us as the darkness deepens. After supper, I scout around with my bow close at hand, but I'm unable to find anything out of the ordinary. I take the first watch, and fortunately, the night passes without incident. When I retire to our tent, I find Zara up and waiting for me. I help her clean her wounded hand, thankful that the mages have given her medicine and dressings for the journey. Warm in each other's arms, we forget about the eeriness of the forest, nestling close before eventually drifting off to sleep. In the morning, we awake to a reticent camp. The mages, most having slept fitfully during the night, seem more subdued, the strange aura permeating the forest still present. Zara and I emerge from our tent and immediately set about with the morning chores. Zara begins preparing food and I stoke the coals of the campfire to life. As I work, a mage comes up behind me and clears his throat. I turn, recognizing the surly man Vargas.
Ranger, he says, gruff voice sounding concerned, I need to tell you something.
Frowning, I follow him to the edge of camp. He gestures at the surrounding woods.
I think there may be something out there, he says. During my watch last night, I heard noises coming from the forest.
I follow his gaze. There are lots of creatures in the Emberwood. He glowers at me.
Do you think me daft, boy? I've been in a forest before. I know there are animals who roam the woods. This was different. It sounded like something was stalking us, walking the perimeter of our camp, something big.
Grunting, I continue to search the trees. Again, I see nothing. Didn't hear anything during first watch, I think, straining my ears to pick up anything out of the ordinary. But he seems spooked. Zara and I did feel like we were being watched by something. Whatever it was, it's gone now, I reply, glancing back at him. I'll do some scouting later. Make sure nothing's following us. He stares at me for a moment, his brow a hard line above his eyes, but he eventually nods, his expression unreadable. Together we return to camp, where breakfast is being served and tents are being broken down. As I settle in next to Zara, I lean in and whisper, You lead the group down the western road. I need to check on a few things. She gives me a strange look. Is everything all right? I'm not sure, I reply, shoveling a mouthful of oats into my mouth and chewing thoughtfully. Vargas thinks he saw something last night, but it could be nothing. I just want to make sure. You know the way, don't you?
Yes, she replies. I think so.
Good. I finish my bowl in a few quick bites. I'll catch up with you later in the morning. With that, I get up and shoulder my bow, then begin making my way to the edge of camp. Before I can get very far, Zara stops me.
Owen,
she calls, a worried look crossing her face.
Be careful out there.
I give her a self-assured smile. Don't worry. I'm a ranger. The forest is my domain.
As the group is getting ready to depart, I set off into the trees alone, my father's hatchet on my hip and my longbow slung over my shoulder. The three wastelanders protest, of course, but I remind them that I'm their commander and that they're unaccustomed to moving stealthily in a forest environment. They reluctantly agree, then take charge of watching over Zara instead. Sparing one final glance at my wife, I disappear from view, descending into the misty woods and finding myself completely alone. It feels good to be back in the Emberwood. In some ways, it's like I never even left. Stalking through the underbrush takes me back to the days I'd spent here training with Elias, studying the vegetation and animals of the region, and learning how to hunt and fight. Those were simpler days, I think, as I make my way down a narrow game trail. I shadow the caravan from a distance, taking seldom-used paths through groves and tangled gullies. For a time, the eerie feeling I'd felt earlier is gone, replaced with nostalgia for returning to my old ranger territory. Deer scamper in a nearby meadow and birds call in the distance, interrupting the idyllic silence of nature. After a while, though, the uneasiness returns, making the hair on the back of my neck stand on end. Continuing forward, I'm unable to pick up the sounds of the local wildlife. A deadly stillness permeates the air. I draw an arrow and hold it nocked to my bowstring. There is something following us, I conclude, my sixth sense ringing in alarm. Something hovers just beyond my line of sight, lurking out of earshot, but the ranger in me knows that it's there, following me like a shadow. I sneak into a nearby thicket, keeping my head on a swivel. I become the predator, crouching amidst brambles until eventually I'm able to detect movement coming from just up the game trail. I raise the bow, watching grimly as a beast with scythe-like arms comes prowling toward me. It resembles a bird of prey with its feathers plucked out, its large sinewy frame moving quietly over branches and dead leaves. A hook horror! I pull, sighting down the arrow, as another of the hook horrors emerges from the brush, then another, until soon there's a good dozen of them stalking through the forest toward my position. 11 hells, I think, my arm beginning to shake from the effort of holding the bowstring taut for so long. There's so many. I know that I must act, either to fight or to flee, or risk myself being caught by the creatures. Taking a breath, I aim at the eye socket of the nearest hook horror and release, loosing the arrow and sending it on a quick path through the air. Unexpectedly, the demon turns its wretched head ever so slightly, and the arrow misses, grazing the top of its scalp and skittering into the woods beyond. Damn, I curse, standing as the beast lets out a blood-curdling shriek. Every hook horror turns to look at me, their beady red eyes alight with otherworldly hunger as they ready themselves to attack.